That's why I'm sitting down. I'm like, oh, as I got through. What an awesome book. And last week I challenged you guys a lot because, you know, I told you guys that you guys can go out there and you guys can make disciples and you can fulfill the Great Commission on your own. And not only that, but for some of you guys, you may have heard this for the first time, but you can actually baptize people, right? For some of you guys are like, I don't even know how to do that. What in the world would I do, right? So that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm putting my teaching hat on today, okay? And I'm going to be the teacher. We're just going to walk through some stuff. And listen, I want to just clarify this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, right? And you understand, you're a mature believer in Jesus Christ. You can baptize people. Okay, you have a call in your life to go out and make disciples. So it's definitely something that we need to know how to do and what it means and what is happening. That doesn't mean that you will get an opportunity to do that. It doesn't mean that you have to do it. It just means that you need to be ready to do it when the Spirit calls. It may very well be that the majority of baptisms that you see are going to be happening at church. You know, and that's fine. You can bring people to church and they come to know Jesus, but there are going to be opportunities in your life if you're led by the Holy Spirit where you can walk people in to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want you guys to know how to do it and what that entails. Because for me as a pastor, I glaze over that sometimes and I'm like, oh yeah, just go share the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? You know, what exactly does that mean? So we're going to kind of break that down to you. And I've done this before, but this is a very, very focused lesson on this. And listen, we're going to have some main scriptures here, but we are going to get very, very practical. And I'm just going to shorten everything for you so that you guys can know how to do this and know when it's appropriate. So we're going to start out just with Romans 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
What an awesome, awesome, awesome verse to know. But we can unpack that a little bit. Because these words are religious words that we use. And we hear them all the time. And they can have a lot of meaning. What does it mean to confess with your mouth? What does it mean to believe in your heart? What does it mean, all of these different words? They can mean so many things to so many different people, especially in this culture. We need to know as Christians what people need to have eternal life. Also, Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is Peter, when they asked him, what do we need to do, when they were confronted by the gospel message, Peter's response was, you need to repent and be baptized. Well, that wasn't in the other verse. So now I'm confused because there's two different things here. So how do we put these things together? And then John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. How many people know that verse? Okay. So what does believe mean? Right? Because there's so many different definitions that we can use for believe. 1 Peter 3:21 says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have this appeal to God for a good conscience. Well, what does that mean? Because that saves me. I need to know that, right? So what do you need to know to be saved? So I'm going to break it down for you. And again, this is coming from a lot of different theological sources. It's coming from different places in the Bible. But these are the things that you need to know. You need to know who Jesus is. Okay? And that's basically the gospel message. Okay? So when I'm going out to witness to people or tell people something, before I'd ever baptize them, before I'd ever even invite them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I need to tell His story. I need to introduce them to who Jesus is. Because this culture has all sorts of ideas about who Jesus is. And many of those ideas are wrong. A lot of them, they've gotten from TV movies, or they've gotten from YouTube videos, or they've gotten from pastors that don't actually preach the Word of God. So we have all these ideas of who Jesus is. But it's very important that we know the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you're telling people, when you're going out there and you're sharing the gospel, you've got to let them know this is Jesus and show them who He is. And listen, it's really hard if you really understand who Jesus was and is not to fall in love with Him and His character. He's an amazing, amazing man who gave His life for us. He's God come to earth. And people can do everything they can with that. They can strip His deity. They can do whatever. But most people will recognize the fact that Jesus was a great man. He did something great here on the earth. But we know what great thing that He did, don't we? So you need to know who Jesus is. And if you're wrong with this, this could mean the difference between salvation and not salvation. If you're off on who Jesus is, it can mean the difference between being saved and not being saved. Just like if I know one Ernie versus another Ernie. I can say I know Ernie, but that means absolutely nothing if I don't actually know that Ernie, right? If I don't actually know him and his character. Natalie. There's lots of Natalies in the world. But I don't know that Natalie unless I know the things about that Natalie. And we need to understand as Christians that that's one of the jobs that we have to do, is to introduce them to who Jesus was and what He did. And we're going to walk through that. Second thing you need to know is how to accept Jesus' offer. So Jesus has an offer of salvation on the table. He died for us. He died for our sins. We can accept that or we cannot. That's God's given us that choice for some crazy reason. But you need to know how to do that. What does that look like when you decide, yes, I want to follow Jesus? What do you do? And listen, you need to know where to learn more about Jesus. Where do I learn more about Jesus? These are the things that you need to teach people when you meet them. These are the things that people need to know before they even make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Okay? And then when you've gotten these things straight, then they can decide whether or not they want to follow Christ. Because listen, you can know half of Christ and think it's a real good deal. But if you don't have the real Christ, you don't know the full deal. When the full deal comes apparent to you, you might back up and regret that decision that you made. Your heart wasn't truly in it. That is not a saving faith. So who is Jesus? Okay? So what do we need to teach people about who Jesus was? Jesus is the only true God, often referred to as the Son of God due to the God's three-part nature. And I know this is a very complicated thing, but listen, if you're witnessing to somebody, they're going to get very confused reading the Bible if they don't know this very simple thing. Is that God is three in one. There's three parts in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we need to let people know. This is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, the Father, right? And there's the Spirit. And knowing this helps you to understand who Jesus is and the greatness of what He's done for us. That God actually gave up being on the throne of heaven and worshiped by millions of angels and came down to this earth to die for us. That means something, and it means something even more when you realize that Jesus was God. Is God, excuse me. And guys, that not only that, but He is the only God. That all the other gods out there are fakers. They're imitators. Okay? They're false gods. There are many idols you can put up in your life, right? But there is only one Jesus, and He is the only one that we should be worshiping. That's something you need to know about Jesus before you accept Him as your Savior. Who is Jesus? Jesus became a man and lived a perfect life unlike every other man to ever live. This is something we need to teach people about Jesus, is that he gave up his rightful adoration in heaven, became a man in body, right, and came down to earth and lived like a man, and he did it perfectly. It's something everybody needs to know about Jesus. Because without that, his sacrifice means nothing. He's just another man. But Jesus was different. He was set apart because he lived this life the way his Father asked him to, the way God wants us to. That's Jesus. He's the example. He is the bar. You cannot follow Jesus unless you understand that. If you just think he's another man, you can't follow Jesus. You got the wrong Jesus. Okay, he didn't mess up. When you read his words, you've got to start from the beginning of understanding that he's infallible. And when you start understanding that he's infallible and you start reading his words and they contradict what our society says, you can say, well, Jesus is right. So society must be wrong, right? So it's important that we understand that, yes, he lived a perfect life. We also need to teach people that out of love, and it's very important that we understand that it was his love that motivated him, right? Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin so we might receive eternal life. And that is a loaded statement right there. There's a lot that people need to understand just to understand that statement. Okay, you've got to understand the fact that we had a penalty, which was death on us because of our sins. And that Jesus died to take that from us so that we don't have to suffer that penalty. That's a substitutionary, you know, sacrifice, that atonement that we were talking about the other day in our service. We have to, people need to understand that we would have died without Jesus Christ. If they don't understand that, they don't understand Jesus. They don't know Jesus. It is the linchpin of Christianity. People need to know that. And there's people who call themselves Christians that do not understand this concept. They still think they're good. They still think they're going to earn their way into heaven. They still think that when they get before God, God's going to be like, oh, I'm proud of you for living the way that you did. But that's not going to happen. All the eyes are going to go to Jesus. And God's going to be like, I'm proud of you for what you did. And we're just going to be thanking him. And we need to understand that. So when you come up to somebody and you're witnessing to them, this is something they need to understand, that Jesus died to pay our penalty for sin so that we could live forever. Why do you do that? Because he loves us. Right? That's our God. And people need to understand that. That's Jesus. Okay? And then, listen. Jesus rose from the dead by the power of God. This is straight up. You know, if you go back to Romans 10:9, right? It says, this is one of the things you need to believe about Jesus to be saved. It says, you know, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is part of knowing Jesus, and we need to understand that Jesus rose from the dead by the power of God. Okay, why is that important? Because if he didn't rise from the dead, he was just another man. He had some great ideas, but he was wrong because he predicted he would rise. But because he rose from the dead, he proves that he is God. He proves that he can see the future. He proves that he's got everything in control, including death. Death was conquered when Jesus rose from the dead. We need to understand that about Jesus Christ. He did not stay in the grave. I don't care what the History Channel tells you. I don't care what, you know, modern philosophy tells you, or your friend tells you, or your favorite YouTube commenter says. Jesus rose from the dead, and there's historical proof of those things. Because there were people running all over the place that knew Jesus, that were convinced that he rose from the dead. Right? These are things that people need to know before they come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that Jesus ascended from earth to heaven. until he returns to create a new kingdom here on earth. People need to understand before they follow Jesus Christ that his purpose is to gather up his children, and that he's going to return one day from heaven, and he's going to establish a new kingdom. And those people who follow him are going to be in that kingdom, and the people aren't going to be there. People need to know that Jesus is coming again. It changes the way that you live, doesn't it? Knowing that Jesus is coming again. He didn't just leave us and abandon us. No, he's coming back. How exciting is that? And listen, you wouldn't want to leave any of these things out, would you? Because all these things are crucial. But we need to have these things in our brain. We need to make sure that we go through these things if we're witnessing this to people. And guys, this is not rocket science, is it? This is one PowerPoint slide. I think you guys can get that down. Okay, I think everybody in this room can get one PowerPoint slide down and make sure that these things are straight in people's heads before they say yes to Jesus Christ. Because I know people who said yes to Jesus Christ that were very confused about these things and had to get them straight after the fact. And I believe that the Holy Spirit can work if you got it wrong in the beginning. But as Christians, it's our responsibility to make sure they get it right. Right? So they don't have to go through the pain and the suffering of getting it wrong. You don't set someone up for failure, you set somebody up for success. If you want to set a future Christian up for success, you teach them the truth about who Jesus is. And if you don't know these things, and I'm sure many of you do, learn them. That's part of maturing as a Christian, knowing who Jesus is, knowing what people need to know about him. So how do we accept Jesus' offer? We repent of our sins and ask forgiveness from God. That's number one. Okay? We must repent of our sins. We must say, God, I messed up. I need you. If we don't go there, the whole deal's off. If you don't go to God with the right heart, he rejects you. I need you to understand that. So people, just, you know, as you come to a new Christian, you're like, well, what do I do to get saved? You've got to repent. You've got to go before God and be honest with him. I mess up. I'm not a good person. I need Jesus. I need Jesus' sacrifice. And listen, if you don't do that, then you're denying what Jesus Christ did for you. If you say, no, I'm good enough to get into heaven, you're basically saying that Jesus Christ died for nothing. You're telling God sacrificed his only son for nothing. That's what you're telling God. Don't tell me that's going to get you in heaven. You must believe in Jesus and who he is. Okay, and again, you can't believe in Jesus and who he is unless you know who Jesus was, which goes back to my first point, right? You've got to first understand who Jesus is. Then you can believe in him. Right? If you don't understand who Jesus is and you start believing in him, what are you believing in? Whatever you've created in your mind. Right? That's not Jesus. You need to know Jesus, know who he is, and then you can put your faith in him and believe him. But the Bible says, believe, those who believe in him should never die. Right? It's very important. And this is not a mental belief. This is a trusting belief. Right? This is I'm believing and I'm putting my faith in him. You must confess Jesus as Lord. And guys, this one right here, again, we read this in the scripture. It says, those who confess Jesus as Lord. That is a huge word, Lord. We don't understand it as well in our culture as they understood it. Okay? Because back then, it was more like a vassal state. It's like they had kings. They had, you know, your Lord owns you, okay? You existed to serve your Lord. That was the authority level, right? That was the chain of command. So for a new believer, someone who wants to accept Jesus Christ, you are basically saying, I am no longer in control of my life. I'm giving myself to you. You are now going to be the Lord and the commander of my life. People need to understand this. That's the decision that you're making. Many people don't don't do that. I see a lot of people, they say they accepted Jesus Christ. I do. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they're saved because they never made Him Lord of their life. They never accepted Him as Lord. They accepted Him, oh yeah, it's a nice thing that He did for me. That's great. I love eternal life, but I'm not going to change my life for Him. I'm not going to change the way I live for Him. See, God knows your heart. He knows your decision. So yes, you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, meaning that He's in control. That doesn't mean we don't mess up. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. But that we understand who's in control and who has the right to make decisions in our life, and that we try our best to do that. So we confess Jesus as Lord. This is how you become a Christian. And listen, ask for the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is something that I'm very big on because in Acts 19, 2 through 6, there was a situation. It says, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in Him who was coming after him. This is in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, and when... Sorry, that's off my screen. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit entered them. That's the rest of the verse. So basically, as Christians, we need to make sure people understand the role of the Holy Spirit in this whole thing, and that people know who the Holy Spirit is. These were people who believed in Jesus, but they had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. So if we're witnessing to somebody, we're setting them up for success, we need to let them know that Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit, right, into us to empower us, right? Because there are people that don't know that. And again, people can find that out later in their life and be like, "Oh, I didn't even know that," just like these people did, right? Okay? But as a Christian, as a mature Christian trying to witness to somebody, trying to tell them how to receive salvation, I think it's important to say, listen, ask for the Holy Spirit to enter you. Accept Him into your life. Welcome Him in. Open the doors wide open and say, "Holy Spirit, come into me." This is a huge part of the Christian walk, is allowing God's Spirit to come in and change us, right? So this is what we do. Four steps. Repent of your sins. Ask forgiveness from God. Believe in Jesus and who He is. Confess Jesus as Lord. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Easy, right? Okay. Again, not rocket science. None of this. Okay, so the third thing. Where do we learn more about Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, we need to teach people that this is where you get most of their information about Jesus Christ. Came from this book right here. This is the truth. It is God's Word. It still is God's Word. It will always be God's Word. It's not changing. There's no revelation coming from some wise man somewhere else that's going to change the words in this book. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, there are Christian religions that say there's continual revelation. That is wrong. Okay? If it denies what's in here. Now, there can be revelation to people, but if it contradicts what's already God said, it is wrong. It is from Satan. It is from the devil. I'm going to tell you straight up. Okay? If it contradicts what's in this book, it's wrong. So you know, you point people to the truth. You can find the truth about Jesus in here. If you want to know who He is and what He did, the story, you want to know about the crucifixion, you want to know about salvation and stuff like that, it's all in here. You don't need anything more than this to learn about Jesus and who He is. Okay, the second thing is we need the local church. If you read this, okay, early Christians were involved in churches. Okay, and people are like, "Well, they're home churches." Yeah, but these home churches were not small churches. Okay, I want you guys to understand this. The apostles were going and appointing leaders of these churches. And they were saying, "Your elders should be such and such and such and such and such and such." To even have a choice of who your elders are going to be, you have to have a large group of people. Okay? So these people, yes, they were meeting in people's homes because they didn't have churches to meet in. But these were bodies of Christ gathered together, and they had a structure to them that was assigned by the disciples. Okay? So as a Christian, we need to get involved in our local church. If we're not involved in our local church, you can't even do half the things that are in here. Or you're not gonna be empowered to do half the things that are in the Bible. When you read the Word of God, that's the structure which God set up. That's the structure Jesus set up through His apostles. Okay? And we need to understand that. When you read the letters, those letters are to churches. They're not to individuals. They're like the letter to Timothy, he's a leader of a church. That's why he's writing Timothy. Not because he's just trying to encourage Timothy, but because he's a leader of a church and he's trying to say, hey, listen, this is how you do church. This is how you lead the church, right? You're not doing this by yourself. And he was appointed as a leader in the church of Ephesus, right? So we need to understand, and some of the letters are just to the Romans. That's to all the believers in Rome, right? The church in Rome. So yes, you need to be in a local church. It's important. And listen, how do we learn more about Jesus? Prayer. Communicating with Jesus. If you want to learn more about Him, you spend time with Him. In prayer. This is how we communicate. And prayer is just a respectful conversation that you have with our Heavenly Father. And because of what Jesus did, you can go directly to Him. I don't have to go to some kind of priest. I don't have to go to some kind of veil and stand behind the veil and talk to somebody on the other side. I can go directly to God the Father. He will hear me because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. He has cleansed me and made me whole through His sacrifice. He paid the penalty. I don't owe anything because of what He did, and I accepted Jesus Christ. Okay? I can go with a good conscience before God. Man, wow. How amazing is that? Even though I'm such a sinner. Okay, and then listen, how do we learn more is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that He was going to send the Holy Spirit. Okay, that He was going to teach us all things. Okay, this is what the Holy Spirit does in our life. So as we accept the Holy Spirit in our life, He continues to teach us things. Sometimes those are hard lessons. Sometimes those lessons hurt. I'm just to be honest. Okay. Anybody ever had a hard lesson from the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I have. So that's what we need. That's what we need to do. Okay? As Christians, when we meet them. So people hear all that and they're like, oh yeah, okay. Yes, I'm in. I want in. So what do you do? Well, I'm going to give you a prayer of salvation. And I'm going to talk to you about baptism. Because listen, in the Bible, baptism and salvation weren't really separated very often. Most of the time, this is happening at the same time. I just want you to, it's just, that's how the Bible does it. Now, what we believe is that baptism is a symbol of what is happening inwardly. That's what the verse in 1 Peter is talking about. There's an inward confession that you're making before God, right? The outward thing just is a representation of what's happening. So can you be saved without baptism? I'm going to say yes. Now there are people that are saying no, okay? But I do believe grace covers us and that no work that we do is going to save us. So baptism is not saving me. I'm not putting my faith in baptism. I'm putting my faith in my belief in Jesus Christ, okay? That's what Jesus saves me, not me, okay? Not the baptism do or any work. Okay, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be baptized. In fact, we should be baptized because if we're following Jesus and He's our Lord, which they've already agreed that they want to make Him the Lord, He said, get baptized. In fact, the Great Commission is not to go and have people say the sinner's prayer. Okay, the Great Commission is to go and baptize people. Okay, very specifically, this is the symbol that Christ gave us that a person is entering into His body. Okay, so we need to do it and we need to prioritize it in our life. If you haven't been baptized and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, do it. Do it today. I'll take you to the river today in the cold. We'll stand there. Ask Ryan, okay? Yes, okay? Do it next week. We'll fill up the tub. It's warm. You know, whatever. Get baptized. Okay, it's what God has commanded us to do. Okay, but there are instances where you don't have water. Okay, so maybe you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're just working with a person and they want to receive Jesus Christ. You don't say no, no, no. You can't receive him until we find some water. Wait. Let's drive to the river. No, you can right there. You can pray with a person and they can receive Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior, and that is the saving faith. And he'll cover you until you get to the water. I promise you. Okay, he'll cover you until you get to the water. That's what grace is for, isn't it? But listen, if you don't get baptized, that's just disobedience. It's straight up disobedience. So this is the prayer, and I structured this prayer because this prayer actually takes you through everything we just discussed. Like, you can't say this prayer and understand this prayer and not then know everything we just discussed, right? So it kind of consolidates everything. So if they're saying this prayer, and you should go over the prayer before they even say it and say, this is the prayer that we're going to do, you know, then it's going to teach them what they need to know. And if they're like, well, wait a minute, I didn't hear you talk about that whole fill me with your spirit thing. What does that mean, right? And before you actually have them say the prayer, you can go over this. It's like an outline, right? So the first thing that we do is, dear Jesus, you know, you talk to Jesus. He's there. He's listening. Okay? Don't talk to him about it in the third person. He's going to pray. You're going to pray to Jesus. Call out to him. It says, forgive me for the wrong that I have done. So here we have repentance. That's the first thing that we need to do is repent. Though I have done nothing to deserve your mercy. And we need to acknowledge the fact that it's not us that has done anything that has earned this mercy. That you just did it. It was all you, God. Okay, and then you're going to affirm what you know about Jesus. Okay, so this is, remember we talked about knowing who Jesus was? This is going to help. I believe you are God, that you became a man and lived a perfect life, that you died on a cross to pay the cost for my sin. Sound familiar? So we might receive eternal life, that you were raised from the dead by the power of God, and you ascended to heaven until you returned to establish your kingdom on earth. That's what you need to know about who Jesus was. Okay? And if people understand that little paragraph there, they're good. Now listen, as you're praying, just a little hint. If you're praying with somebody, don't say all that at one time. Break it up so they can repeat you. Okay, because a lot of times they're going to be repeating this after you. So you say, I believe you are God, that you became a man and lived a perfect life. And they say that, and that's how you lead somebody through a prayer. It's very simple. Right? And then you confess. This is where you confess. And this is really the commitment that you're making to Jesus to follow him and make him Lord, right? From this day on, I will put my trust in you, Jesus. I will follow you as Lord of my life, denying myself and serving you with all of my heart. That's the covenant that we're making before God, is that you're my Lord now. I'm no longer it's me, it's now you who's in charge. I'm picking up my cross and following you. Right? That's what this statement is saying. And people need to understand that when they say it. Right? That's why I'm telling you, you got to prep somebody. You can't just say, oh, let's just say love Jesus. Let's just say the sinner's prayer. Teach them what this means. Right? And again, if you forget all the other stuff I taught you, just go through the prayer and explain everything to them. Right? Ask for help. Okay, we need help in this life, don't we? Okay, so fill me with your spirit and help me to live according to your word. So this is asking Jesus for his help so that you can walk through this world boldly. Guys, that's not necessary for salvation, but let me tell you, it's a good thing to have in a prayer. Again, we're trying to give them the model. This is, you need Jesus' help. You're asking him, you're realizing the fact that I'm going to need your help as I go through this process. And then listen, thank him. Thank you for loving me and dying so that I may live forever with you. Amen. That's it. Again, one slide, one PowerPoint slide. And if you go through that slide with them and they understand every aspect of what they're saying in that prayer, they will understand the basics of what they need for salvation. That doesn't mean they'll know everything about God or everything that's in the Bible, or they'll understand every doctrine or deep deep and wide that they need to live as a Christian, but that's the start. That's the confession that they need to make before God. If they make that confession before God and they mean it in their heart, and God looks at the heart, God knows, and they're saved. Period. Period. That's all. Now, does it have to be those exact words? No. But it does need to cover those things. Like, I don't always say it exactly the same. I don't sit there and memorize something and say it. I just know what people need to know about Jesus. So that brings us to baptism, because that's the sinner's prayer. You're out there, you know, someone wants to accept Jesus right then and there, say the sinner's prayer with him, that's fine. Well, listen, baptism is the same thing. It's literally the same thing. So if you know the sinner's prayer, you already have the outline for baptism. Because all they're doing is now confessing what they already confessed before God, before men. That's what baptism is. It's, hey, I'm now going to say this out loud. I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say it out loud in front of everybody. Okay? And I'm going to go do this weird dunking, baptism, symbolic thing, get cold in the river, whatever I need to do, because I love Jesus that much. Right? I'm going to be obedient to Him. So that's all baptism is. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing. You don't need to, you know a whole lot to do it. If you know the sinner's prayer, you know what you need to know to do baptism. Right? Take person in the water. I just give you some hints. Okay? Make sure you have a good firm footing. Okay? I've been in some water where I didn't have a good firm footing. And I fell, okay? That wasn't a good moment in my life, right? I slipped. My feet went, woo, okay. Especially if you're in rivers or you're in ponds or lakes or something like that. Sometimes you're standing on a rock and it's slippery and you're like, woo, you know? And it's a little embarrassing. You got to kind of rehash. But don't worry about it. Just make sure your footing's good, right? Okay? Make sure that their footing is good. Because when they go back, okay, the tendency is that their feet go up. Because they're floating in water, okay? So make sure that their footing is good, right? So that this doesn't look like a crazy mess. And if it does, that's fine, okay? If it does, it's fine. If it messes up, that's okay. It's just another story to tell about this amazing moment in your life, right? And then listen, you have the person hold their nose. It is bad going back in water and having water go up your nose and flood your brain. It's just not very comfortable. Anybody been there? Yeah, okay. So what I tell people to do is hold their nose, grab with the other arm, and I just grab right here on their wrist so I can pull them up and pull them back. And listen, the water helps even the smallest person baptize somebody, because you're floating in the water, okay? So that's what you do. It's just really simple. And listen, make it special, right? If you can get more people around, hey, call your dad, meet us at the river. Call your mom, meet us at the river. Meet us at church. The baptism here in front of the church family that you have is amazing. This is a whole gallery of witnesses that are then going to be there to help you through life. But we don't always have this luxury. There's people that we meet out there we might never see again. So yeah, take them to the river. Take them to the pond. Take them to the lake. Take them to the pool. Take them to the bathtub. Right? Whatever you need to do. We're called to do this. I know for some people you're like, this is so uncomfortable. Like, yeah. Right. So is the cross. So what does that look like? What do you say when you're baptized? You're basically just going through the sinner's prayer again. So you want to start by affirming that they want to do what they're going to do. So you say, do you repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Right? So they're in the water. If they say yes to that, then you continue. If they say no to that, get out of the water. You have some more talking to do, right? Make sure they say yes to that. Yeah, okay, I want to do that. And you just say, repeat after me. And then you're just going through the sinner's prayer. You're just affirming who Jesus is. Okay? Jesus, you are God. You became a man and lived a perfect life. Same thing. You died on a cross to pay the cost for my sins so we might receive eternal life. You rose from the dead by the power of God, and you ascended to heaven until you returned to establish your kingdom on earth. Jesus, from this day on, this is the covenant that you're making with Jesus. Jesus, from this day on, I will put my trust in you. I will follow you as Lord of my life, denying myself and serving you with all my heart. Okay, so that's what they're saying after you. They're repeating this. And you're a witness to this. You're the officiant, right? It's just like when someone says, I do in a marriage. That's what this is. It's a wedding vows, right? And then when they say, with all of my heart, they've said what they need to say. They've confessed what they need to confess before you as a Christian to baptize them. Okay? So then, you say, now with that confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why do we do that? Because that's what Jesus said to do. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Don't forget that. Okay? There are people, like these people that Paul met on the road, they didn't get baptized in the Spirit. Right? So you need to make sure that's right. And then you baptize them. You pull them up, pull them over, and then welcome to the family. And if you want to add stuff to it, you know, like buried with Christ in baptism, now rise in newness of life, you can get all fancy if you want, but you don't need to do that. Right? Because when they come up out of that water, they are a new creation. They are part of the family of God. Adopted into His family. That's what baptism means. A beautiful moment. You should want to share that with people. You should want to minister to people in that way and get them there. And sometimes, guys, it's not two separate occurrences. Many people, when they get baptized, they're actually saying this for the first time. Okay, so you can join those two things. You don't have to have a sinner's prayer and then go get baptized. You can do it all at one time. Right? So, that's baptism. Guys, I put a little card in here that just kind of goes over the baptism thing. The baptism thing is also kind of a cheat sheet for the sinner's prayer as well. But I want you guys to have that so that, not that you can carry it around all the time, because you're going to lose it, I guarantee you. How many people carry stuff around all the time? You lose stuff, right? Just know it. You need to know it. Not every word for word, whatever, but you need to know what you would need to say to somebody if you're going to baptize them, because we could be called to do that in our life as we're following Jesus Christ. Okay? And I challenge you to do that. So, I don't usually do this, okay? But I'm going to ask for questions, because this is a big thing. And my job is to equip you to do what God's called you to do. Again, it's not to do it for you, it's to equip you. So I want to make sure that you guys' questions are answered with regards to salvation. How do you bring somebody into salvation? Anybody have any questions? Yes.
So, suppose, let's say we're following the example, can we baptize without water? Can we baptize by laying hands on someone?
I just don't think that's baptism. So I'm not saying it's ineffective. I think laying on the hands of another believer is huge. But I don't think that's baptism. I think at that point they still should go through with the public confession of baptism. It was very clear, you know, baptism is nothing else in the Bible but going underwater and coming up, immersion, really. You know, Baptists got a big, you know, that's the reason that we're called Baptists, right? Is we dunk people, yeah.
Let's just say maybe, for namesake, the ceremonial significance of the immersion.
Yeah, I always say it's like common law marriage compared to regular marriage, right? You can be in a common law marriage where you're basically married, right? And then you can actually have a ceremony. Well, if I'm in a common law marriage, why do I even need a ceremony? Y'all can answer that question, don't you? You can answer that question, right? Because you're confessing it before other people. It's now public knowledge. It's meaningful. And it, not only that, but it reminds you of the decision that you made. Like Lillian was baptized down there at the river. She's going to remember that for the rest of her life. She's not going to forget that she made that commitment. Okay? So, yeah, I would say that's not what the Bible refers to as baptism. Does that mean that person's not saved? No. I just think they need to go ahead and have a real immersion baptism at some point in their life. Good question. Any other questions? Y'all are all ready to go then. Awesome. Okay, guys, listen. Seriously, if you have any questions about this, or you even are struggling with if Christians should even be able to baptize and not a priest or whatever, I just come see me. Talk to me. We can go through the Word of God. This is what we see in the Word of God. So I'm very open to having conversations about it. And if you need help, you know, ever baptizing somebody, please give me a call. I will be there. I will be there. I will be there and watch you baptize somebody. That's what I'm like. I'm like, yeah, no, you go ahead and baptism. I will just be here and clap. Yes. Yes. Okay. If you led them to Jesus Christ, baptize them, man. All right? I have no problem with that. If you want to get up here in our baptistry and baptize somebody you led to Jesus Christ, you come talk to me. Okay? I'm all about that. Okay? There's no ownership in me about baptism, right? Okay, so right now, we're going to pray, and then we're going to take communion, which is the second thing Jesus has called us to do ceremonially to remember what he's done for us. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that we have the gift of salvation through you if we accept you and follow you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that everybody in this room has made that decision, and I pray that if they don't, that they make it today. That they don't wait. I pray, Lord Jesus, that anybody who's here and has made that decision, maybe he's fallen a little bit away from it, Lord. I pray that they recenter and they remember that original covenant that they made with you, that commitment they made with you, and just run 100% towards you with everything they've got. You are forgiving, Lord. You're merciful. You're graceful and gracious and loving. And we can always run to you, just like that song said today. We can run to you. And I just pray that everybody in here, that's our heart. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you just empower us, Lord. You give us situations in our life that may make us uncomfortable, Lord, but could lead people to Jesus Christ. And I pray that you give us the boldness to stand in that gap and tell them the truth. Tell them who you are, what you've done for us, and how they can obtain salvation. I just pray that for everybody in this room, Lord, that this church is a light into this world, shining brightly, Lord. And with that light, you can change so many people. Thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray. Amen.